Welcome everyone to another episode of Trek Talk with Tech and Kirk. I'm Tech Man 16.
And this banana is 92 grams.
Great, wonderful. All right, today we have.
I gotta weigh my. I'm weighing my food, bro.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. Today we have Rescue Ranger from GTS, Handy from Nona, and Raptor PvP from Dark. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Doing good.
Amazing.
I'm alive. It's all that matters.
That's great. And Raptor is definitely alive. He's been battling through some illnesses, not COVID related, but thanks for joining. I know it's hard for you guys, but all right. I kind of want to do a quick recap of last week. What we've done was we kind of touched upon the Dark Most War. And by the time the last episode aired, the conflict was resolved. And you fuckers couldn't wait until my podcast was out. So I want to turn it over to Raptor. I want you to explain how the conflict was resolved and what you guys do to make amends and stuff.
So that's a question for Kevin. I was in the hospital when I turned it all over to Kevin and had him handle it. So I don't know what Kevin did or asked him or talked to him about. I was too busy in the hospital.
To the best of your knowledge, what happened?
To be honest, I don't know. I got on one day and found out that the war was over. I was like, oh, well, I guess it got resolved. I mean,
we are in a terrible alliance. The Admiral doesn't even know what the fuck's going on.
The communication in Dark is amazing.
It is, man. It's like smoke signals.
Considering Kevin was the reason why we went to war with 13, it's amazing. He ended the conflict with most. So kudos to Kevin, I guess.
Well, I mean, there was... I mean, I started the talks with Grazi. And what I started with it was, you know, just trying to let them know, you know, we're trying. It wasn't a full out war. It was more of a skirmish. Because I didn't want it to escalate and become like the MRCN war, where it just escalated, where it wasn't going to stop until the big spenders got tired of fighting. And that's what we were trying to avoid. So from what my knowledge of it was, you know, Kevin brokered a deal to where, you know, next time Key does anything like that, he's going to be on KOS for, he's going to be booted. I believe he's going to be KOS for at least a couple weeks. And then I don't know from there what was worked out, but.
No worries. No worries. So effectively, I guess the resolution centered around Grand Admiral Key, where. I think he was demoted from Commodore and, you know, just put on probation or whatever that means in the game and make sure nobody does anything stupid. I guess that was the gist of it.
Pretty much, sounds like.
In a nutshell, I think that's what happened after everything was said and done with. I spoke to Grazi, and that's kind of what we talked about, and that's the way we were able to handle it. And
but I know what before I passed it on to Kevin to handle the rest of the negotiations, I told him, I said, to be honest, if we can get it just to be done and over with, I said, it's fine. I think we got our retribution out. We definitely blew up way more ships than what Key fucking did. But I think we got our point across.
And then we went back to Farmville.
Yeah, and then we went back to fucking Farmville.
Alrighty. Well, on that note, let's turn it over to Rescue Ranger. Now, here's my question to you is GTS. So Rescue Ranger is the Admiral of GTS. They do not have a territory. And my question to you is, how is it playing against alliances that do have territories? And how is it playing without a territory of your own?
Well, I mean, the only thing that we noticed not having a territory is we can't do you can't get the particles that you need to do your research. So the research that makes your ship stronger and all that is not a, you're not able to have that. And I think that does make us a little weaker because we don't have that strength.
Do you try and target OPL ships in those territories so you can refine?
Oh, yeah. Yes. My guys do it every night.
Yeah, but if they don't have the specific territories, they're not getting the particles no matter what.
Yeah, you still need those particles that you can only get in the territory stores. Those special, I don't know what they're called. I have to look at the game. But
there is a lot of research that doesn't require the particles, so I assume you guys are able to do those by hunting OPL.
Yeah, we can do those, but the ones that are...
really beneficial.
Yeah, the ones that are that will help strengthen your ships, you can't do.
Right.
Now, have you been a part of the particle exchange?
Yeah, have you been trading players?
No. My guys, I've suggested it, but they're still kind of like, do we really want a new tag? You know, that's the problem. A lot of us have been playing with the same people for years now. And
see, with the particle exchange, you just hop in maybe 5-10 minutes up to 8 hours, because that's usually the reset time before you can rejoin your old alliance. And they stay and just get the particles and go back to their alliance.
Well, that's what I've suggested. So I have a few that are probably going to start doing that. And I also have a lot of players. I mean, a lot of our players are actually below 32, level 32.
Okay, so the particles aren't really that much of a necessity for them.
They won't be able to do the research anyways, even if they had the particles.
Right, because...
Is GTS mainly a free-to-play alliance? Is that the deal?
Majority of it, yes. The majority of them are free-to-play. There's only a few that myself and probably 10 players that spend money every month.
Which are probably the players that show up when you're trying to do a takeover and whatnot, I would assume.
Correct. I think our last takeover we were able to get, but it was middle of the day, you know. A lot of us had a problem with getting the day off. But I think we had like 40 of our players show up, 40, 45.
Still pretty good. Still pretty good considering that most of your player base is free-to-play. Because, I mean, you'll definitely find that the more someone has invested in this, the more apt they are to really bring more to the table. And it's nothing against free-to-play players. It's just that, just like with anything, you have a real investment in here.
I will tell you a little bit of a secret. Larger players will target larger ships. So it's actually more beneficial for your players to literally use the weakest ship they possibly can in a capture.
And they're faster.
So they're less likely to get hit.
Yeah, that's nice to know. I know like the last time, I think we were told to have like level 32 or higher ships that are more maxed out, like the Sally and the Enterprise that you have to put on
nodes. To sit on nodes, right.
Yeah, and really we only, I think the area we had was like, there was only like 12 or 14 nodes on the two systems, and we barely had enough big ships to cover each of those nodes.
Yeah.
This is where I disagree. I don't think it should matter what size your ship is on that node, as long as you're tying that node up. Because
now, here's the problem, though.
You're going against people that have 2-3 million ships. Your Sally's not going to touch it. I mean,
here's the problem, though. I was there, right, in this last takeover they had, and my assigned area was protecting two nodes.
Hold on. Wait, Andy, before you go, what was the takeover? Who was it against, and what system was it?
Let me pull up the map real quick. So this last takeover that they attempted was against Arise, and it's a CD. And I was protecting two nodes, and I literally had six ships. I didn't lose a ship the entire thing, so they were all of sufficient strength. But because of how many people were in there, it was extremely difficult to cover those two nodes. Just two nodes, my six ships couldn't do it. I was targeting people left and right, and I could not stop them from killing them off the nodes. So I would say about 80% of the time at the two nodes that in particular I was protecting, there was no ship on it. So the way that particular capture went, I think they probably would have done better if they hadn't tried to go on the nodes at all. Because as soon as they park on a node, they're a target. And because they're a bigger ship, and those are the ships that are on the nodes and not moving, they're just prime targets. It's like having a big sign on them that says, blow me up.
Yeah.
So for a smaller alliance, I think it would make sense to just use little ships. Don't go after the nodes at all and just keep moving. Use speed crews that add to your impulse speed. And just fly around like crazy.
What you're saying is for a smaller, more free-to-play alliance, get a bigger guy from a completely different alliance, clog up the nodes, and then use the smaller ships to just fly around and score a bunch of points.
Correct. I think that strategy would probably work a lot better.
See, I was wondering if that strategy would actually work, because just have us all run around the system instead of trying to get a node would work better.
I mean, for example, if you can imagine if all of our bigs in Nona were to park our three strongest ships from each big player on a node, we're effectively taking the nodes out of the equation for the entire takeover.
Yeah.
I think that would probably be the best strategy.
Well, as we discussed last week, the way that Most was able to beat Nona in some of these takeovers, even though Nona had the bigger ships, was they loaded up their Rialtas and their Botany Bays and their Vidars with speed crews and just kept zigzagging around, A, forcing lag, which means you can only kill a ship every 5 minutes, and B, you just had an en masse amount of ships, and so it canceled out whatever Nona was sitting on a node. So if you have five tiny ships from one player, say you're level 39, and you bring five ships, that is, it's a Rialta, Botany Bay, a couple of Orion Corvettes, that in that area, that cancels out Handy's Jellyfish on a capture node. In fact, it's better than Handy's Jellyfish on a capture node because you're scoring 5 points a minute as opposed to Handy's 3 points a minute.
On that one particular node, sure. But
you're right.
Now, that's also, see, we're talking different strategies here for different sized alliances. See, battles between smaller alliances, let's face it, they don't bring that many players. So, whereas Most is going to have higher level players, and they probably have 5 to 6 ships per person, a smaller free-to-play alliance maybe only have, 40, 45 players with 3 to 4 ships, depending on their level. I mean, that's a huge difference. That's a lot less ships in the system. And then on top of that, if you're fighting against a mega alliance and all they have to do is bring in a few extra helpers, and it's really hard for them to keep ships in the system at all. Now, I did notice there wasn't very much lag because there just wasn't as many people on either side. So the smaller alliances attract less people in general. So a lot less fighters, a lot less ships in the system. So the lag isn't as bad, meaning ships get targeted much easier. They can get blown up much easier.
Right. Am I good?
So the running around worked a lot better when it was super lagged out. But in these smaller battles, the lag out, it just isn't as bad. So they get caught a lot more often.
And they work because my guys were ones running around were like, I keep getting hit. I thought we wouldn't get hit as much.
Yeah, it's because there just wasn't enough lag. There wasn't enough people in system.
So how many, Rescue Ranger, how many ships do you think were total were brought? And then are you going to attempt another takeover at some point in time?
We probably will attempt another one. We just got to find a better time for everybody to be there. But we probably had, because I know I had 3 ships in system, because I had my Discovery to, every time I got killed, you know, I'd use my Discovery to summons me back. But I think everybody had, I think we had like 70, 60 ships in, because I think a few of the guys, they couldn't figure out how to do 2 ships at once to keep them moving. I had several players that had a hard time trying to do that, so they only had one.
Yeah, they just have to bring all their ships, whether they're moving or not.
And it takes a lot of practice.
They got to use Rialtas and stuff like that that are really cheap to repair, so that when they get blown up, they can just click the repair button and send it right back.
Yeah, that's...
If all your players only bring 1 ship, you'll never win. No matter who you are, where you are, they have to bring every single ship that they... Every ship slot that they have available.
And another aspect of it, too, is you got to look at, what is... What's the largest ship in your alliance power-wise, ballpark?
It's mine, my Enterprise. I believe it's mine. I mean, I don't know if we have one more guy that's a higher level than I am, or 2 guys. And I know one of them just barely got the Enterprise, and I don't think the other one has one yet. I think it's mine, and mine's only a 2.6 million. It's a level 5.
So you have your another thing you're going up against here is that I would imagine in a smaller alliance like that, with more free-to-play style, with lower power, you also have to be very selective about which territories you go after, because it seems to me that it's almost an impossible battle to try to take a territory from someone like Most or MCRN or Dark or Nona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The power deficit's too large.
Right. So it's just there's the spread can't be covered. So then you start having to look at the smaller alliances, which I think, what's that one up there in the top right that we have?
There's Tank.
Tank, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one. That one, they're pretty, they have some decent ships, but I think for the most part, they're pretty lower in the power range.
Well, they used to be.
But they bring in people for their takeovers, because we went to war with them back in, God, when did I become Admiral? What, September, October, we went to war with them. And they had no big ships. I mean, they only had a few guys, but they were pretty well our power in ships. And they bring in people, because they don't have no jellies. They shouldn't. They don't have no levels for that. They just got a few people. And they had, their last takeover, they had 6 jellies. ISS jellies.
Yeah, they brought Post in.
Why did you go to war with them?
You know, I really don't know what happened, because I wasn't on that day. I just came on, and all of a sudden I was Admiral. Because one of their guys dry-hitted our Admiral that was sitting on a, you know, mining. And, he was like, hey, why'd you dry hit me? And they went back and forth. And I'm not, like I say, I really don't know. But apparently they were saying it wasn't a dry hit and we don't care anyways and screw you. And so he dropped tags and started hitting them. And so we went to war over it. Went lasted like 4 days.
That's usually how wars start, with a dry hit. Cook, you've, so Cook from Dead here. Cook, you went to war with Dead and you keep going off with them on their territory. How is it dealing with Tank?
Well, yes. AJ, I nicknamed him Captain Admiral Angry when we went to war with them.
I just called him Dick. So, you know, he was a dick. So I'm sure he thought I was a bitch.
He declared war on us. He declared war on us because of a hit in swarm space on a swarm Sunday. And then after that was resolved, I killed him in a ceremony for a departing player because I wanted some fireworks and to make it kind of more interesting, considering we'd been sitting there for like 6 hours. But he didn't find it amusing and declared war on us instead.
Yeah, are you talking about AJ?
Yeah.
He did the same kind of thing with us. You know, I mean, we were all good, and then all of a sudden, we had another guy drop and decide to join Sublaster on his little rampage with them, and so it started the second war.
Yeah, so we kicked their asses, and until they were begging us to stop. Then we were kind of like, we're in a Cold War state of where you're targeting, but we're going to keep everything to row. So we just kept raiding their bases until they were all empty, because they really have no shield discipline. They still don't.
They still don't. They don't want us, because we keep draining them too, and they keep telling us leave us alone. And I'm like, I can't deny my guys.
So when we had that raiding event going on like last month, I think, we scored like number 4 in the event, just raiding them in Temeri and Pyrum. We never had to move our bases out of Ezra. We just kept raiding every single base. And if they hit us in one zone, we'd hit the next zone.
Curious of where we placed in that event.
Well, it reset every like 6 hours. So one of the events we placed in like 4th place. I'm sure the overnight one, Stark, came in like 1st or 2nd.
We came in 1st in all of them except for one.
Yeah, because I think we just got sick of it.
Yeah,
you do get exhausted from it after a while.
Well, rating is our thing anyway, so to make an event about it, it's like, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of our
exactly.
Yeah. About the tank.
Yeah, they had to pee all over that event and mark it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We drug our ass across the carpet.
But go back to tank. The only reason they even came there was because most just wanted to hurt Nona by hurting us, because we were the weaker link in the Dominion. And most came to me and literally said that. And so, of course, they floated tank in there, kicked our butts. We lost a bunch of territories. And now they have the bonuses, and they've started becoming a whale alliance, bringing in a bunch of heavies and spending a lot of money. I've watched those ships just jump so exponentially.
They got really sick of it. I mean, because I've had a bunch of those people muted since Vietnam, and it's just they're a lot of the mentality there's ridiculous. There are some good players there I've talked to. One of them I've kind of helped out. I saw him doing some PvP, and I said, hey, man, I said, use this crew, you know, and check this out, because to be quite honest, it's kind of painful seeing you get blown up when you shouldn't be dying. And so he listened to me, and he changed some stuff around. He's like, hey, man, thanks, you know, and so it became pretty cool. So there's a couple of cool people there, but for the most part, when I get bored, I just got to start go one-shot their bases just so I can have something to do. It's kind of a way to pass the time. And inevitably, I get a bunch of hate mail. Why did you hit my base? Why aren't you shielded?
I used to get a lot of that stuff. Since we came to a sort of a agreement over Temeri, we've been avoiding raiding each other and attacking each other in our zones out of courtesy.
How is that peace going between the two?
It's actually going really well. There's not been any incidents since it started. Today we just handed Temeri back over to tank. And so this is the 3rd rotation we've done on it. Of each of us having it like 3 times. So it's really good.
So about a month and a half.
You elaborate on that, because maybe I'm not aware, but maybe somebody else isn't aware. What are you doing with these territories where you're swapping them back and forth for the bonuses?
Well, whenever it comes up.
Is it for the bonuses for the particles only?
No, it's for the particles.
Yeah,
if it was for the bonus,
Well, the particles are considered a bonus.
No, people would argue that.
In our terminology, I would say no. Most people just call them the particles, or the bonuses are the buffs.
Yes, I understand that. Right, you get a certain buff with a territory, and then you get access to a particle depending on which territory you're in. But having a territory is a bonus than not having a territory. regardless, semantics. Go ahead, Cook. I'm sorry.
Bonus, then we would have gone for who? We wanted the particle, which is why we were attacking them every week since the week they took it from us. But it's actually going really well. So every day when it comes up, we remind everyone in our lines, make sure you guys get your bases out of the zone. Make sure you've collected your particles for the day. And about 5 minutes before the takeover starts, we'll go and drop the base, because we don't want to leave it open too long in case someone gets a good idea. And
so you swap it every week? Is that what you do?
Yep.
One week, one alliance, 1 week, another alliance?
Yeah.
All right. Are you just doing that one territory? Because I know you guys, Dead and Tank has been kind of going back and forth on those, you know, upper right-hand corner territories for a while.
Yeah, we have. Tank still holds Pyrim and Thubishon, and Dead still holds Ezla. We've agreed not to attack each other in any of those force zones. And then every week we trade off Temeri, because Temeri is the only one there that has a different particle than the other three.
Okay. All right. Cool. So, Handy, before we started, you were talking about you were helping other alliances kind of cycle through territories. Can you elaborate on what that is and how you're doing it?
Well, really, I just kind of act as a neutral third party. Just a sounding board, giving ideas and whatnot. All the alliances that have been involved have been really successful with it. And have been moving around peacefully. I broached this subject back before we moved our territory, back when we were before we had really gone after most territory, you know, and I said, look, you know, let's all get together and see if we can get all the major alliances on the board talking about this and see if we can get everybody organized and see if we can get, you know, essentially my goal, like what I thought would best help the server as a whole would be to, how do we best utilize the map as it stands now to get everybody the particles they want, be able to rotate around. And then on top of that, alliances that had territories that gave them no benefit besides the buff, why not just drop them and let other alliance, smaller alliances come in and get that, you know, whatever particle it is, and then be able to mine there and whatnot. And then the smaller alliances could also jump around anyway. So I tried to get everybody involved, and really nobody in the big alliances wanted to play ball. Inko and I tried, other comms have tried to get people together, and nobody really wanted to do it as a group. So we kind of ditched that idea. Some people tried. There were people from Dark, like Maza, a few other people that really put in some effort and was trying to help, like us, you know, figure out some kind of agreement with most, and it just didn't really work out because nobody wanted to give anything up, you know. Whether it gave them benefit or not, they just want to hold on to what they have.
Well, that, and they kept throwing in old past grudges and grievances.
Yeah,
from
you know,
past.
Nobody wants to let stuff go. But anyways, we digress. So essentially, we got Q, VHC, Die, Rogue, and even RMU involved. And I believe even Dread too. No, what's it? Dread? Anyway, at any rate, we got them all to kind of come and talk together and agree that, hey, everybody needs to kind of move around and get different particles. So we got them all in a private chat room and just kind of hammered out who wanted to go where and whatnot. And kind of just got just admirals involved, really, you know, and just kept the conversation really simple, you know, because as soon as you get a ton of people involved, it just gets more and more complicated because everybody's got an opinion, right?
So what you were doing is everybody was kind of had a hand in swapping territories to get certain particles and certain ISO mining ranges. Was that how the arrangement worked out?
Yeah. So essentially, like a territory like Rogue used to have, the far right side of the map, lower right side, was all one type of particle. Well, that's not doing them much good in the long term. So, you know, they ended up moving down to Cube's old territory. And, you know, VHC took their spot. And then Die moved over where VHC was. And anyway, they just kind of all shift around. And there's an agreement in place that, you know, there'll be no taking over of each other's territories. Just follow normal row and be friendly. And then that also allowed us to open up a few other small, you know, like, for example, Rogue, when they went over to the left side of MCRN, they went from 4 territories down to 3. And their next move, they'll go from 3 to 2 territories, most likely. So now that's 2 systems opened up to bring in smaller alliances that have not been able to be on the board.
And on the subject of Rogue, they're doing this because those 4 territories only provided one type of particle, right? And then the 3 provide another type and the 2 provide another type.
Correct.
All right.
So essentially, even if you have 4 territories, for example, I mean, maybe not everybody knows this, but if you have like a level 1 of a particle and then a level 2 of a particle, now you can get double the amount of that particle. But any additional territories you get over that in the same particle gives you no benefit except for the buff and a place to mine. That's it. Which isn't really enough of a reason to hang on to more than just 2 territories. You get, you know, a level 1 and a level 2 in the same particle, you know, the same race or whatever. And now you're getting double the amount every day. You're basically getting 2 refines of each particle. So that picks up the speed quite a bit. And we did a lot of math and figured about 3 months of what I call double dipping on a particle. And you've basically got enough to do almost all the research. So really, most of these alliances, based on level and whatnot, some of these smaller alliances, after about a year of moving around the map, they're going to be able to do pretty much all the research. And then, of course, it's basically capped based on how much ISO, you know, refined ISO they can get. You know, they'll end up having stocks of these particles and not have to be sitting on them every single day. They can stock a bunch up and move on and let somebody else stock up. So it's kind of worked out.
The only issue that I would say that with the particles is just the and you guys, I've been muted for a second. I had to do something, so you may have already said it, but is the level lock on some of that stuff. Like, for example, you could max everything out at your level, and then you're going off doing other stuff, and then when you finally level up, it's like, well, damn, now I gotta, you know, I got more research I gotta do now.
Sure, but the idea is that you're gonna have a stockpile of it. Like, if you've been collecting on one particle for 3 months and you're double dipping on it, for example, I mean, you should have a ton of it. You should have thousands of it sitting around.
Oh, I mean, I do. I have thousands of the stuff sitting around of each one, the Metreon, all 4 of them. And I liked what Inko had to say when it was, you know, when we get to the point where the major alliances, like we're a part of, get what we need, and then we can maybe, you know, move out of the way and let other people have those territories so they can start leveling up and so forth.
Right. Or like what I suggested is, you know, alliances like Dark, Nona, MCRN, Bold, Most, after about a year and a half of being in territory capture, I mean, we're going to have everything we need. We can drop down to like 2 or 3 territories just to be able to continue, you know, mining ISO and whatnot. Because ISO is going to take longer than that. you know, I mean, it's going to take like, I want to say like, I think it's 2 or 3 years if you're not spending any money on it, to be able to max all that research out, just refining. And that's if you're max refining, you know, if you're just doing the minimum, I mean, we're talking 6 years till you get all that research done. So it's a long road. So there's, you're still going to need some kind of presence, but you can definitely cut back on the systems that you need to hold on to.
One of the biggest reasons that I know I have a bunch of that stuff, the particles stockpiled, is because for almost 2 months, the only thing I was spending isogen on for the most part was jellyfish blueprints. And now that I have it...
Right, so you haven't been doing the research.
Right, because, you know, I need to save up $45,000 each week, and then whatever the difference was, I would apply that to the research. but now I'm finding that I have so many particles, but no isogen. So now I'm trying to play catch-up on that research. So, and it's by design.
No, you just mine as much ISO as you can and max refine every day, and that's about all you can do. Or spend money on packs. But, you know, honestly, even I have not bought those ISO packs. I mean, I spend lots of money on this game, and I just don't see the reason to buy those packs, really. I can wait an extra month or two or four to do some of this research.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's not absolutely essential. The middle portion is the best part for the ship upgrades, because you don't need particles for that. But that far right research tree is something a little bit different.
Well, you still need particles in the middle.
So Rescue Rangers, GTS on this trip of swapping out territories with others, or are you going to wait longer for another attempt at a capture?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. I've suggested if the guys wanted to, they can go to different alliances and get the particles they need and then come back. But yes, we would like a territory, so we don't have to do that.
You know, and I think the entire situation where they had a territory for a few weeks and then lost it is really kind of on Nona's head. In a way, we had started a war with RMU, and somebody from here suggested to them that they could try and take RMU's territory. And unfortunately, that was a very bad idea and a very bad suggestion on our part, because, of course, RMU knocked them off the map.
Yes.
You know, they're obviously a much more powerful alliance, and there wasn't a whole lot we could do about it.
No, but I should have thought it through, too, and not done it. So it's also on me.
Oh, yeah, but you know. I get that.
Great, you both can take the blame for it.
Yeah, we put the idea in your head. It was a bad idea. I didn't, but it happened. So
no, but it's, you know, a bummer. It happened, and it's a bummer, and... you know, live with the consequences that I did. And, you know, so I can't, you know, I can't complain too much, because I was like, yeah, even though I knew they were more powerful, and, you know, but it was still more.
Well, you were new into territory capture. So you probably could have had a chance, or at least been able to defend yourself, if you had had more, your alliance as a whole had more experience in territory capture. Because it's a learning curve. I mean, it took us, and I mean, well, we're all pretty serious players here, and it took us, you know, weeks to figure this stuff out, to figure out how it all worked. I mean, everybody.
It is. It really, it's almost like a science. You have to get down just to do it, to get it to work.
Pretty much everything in this game is a science.
I think the only people that haven't really had to move around was Dark.
Yeah, I mean, Dark, I think, really is the only alliance that hasn't moved at all. And Bold. I don't think Bold's moved at all.
MCRM.
I don't think MBD has.
MBD as well. I don't think they've moved much either.
They were alternating their T3 zone with RMU for a while.
Mm-hmm. And Bold, I think, at one point, weren't they? Or maybe not.
No, no, because Bold had the other one.
If That's Tech has any more follow-up questions for the TC, because I have something else that we can move into as well.
Well, going back to the issue with GTS and that fight, it was multiple issues. It was the inexperience. It was the short notice. It was the lack of, you know, work of people being on at the time because of the short notice. And just like, you know, Rescue Ranger said, it finding time for everyone to get on. I mean, that's always been the issue with Dead, is everyone's got so many different things going on, and we have a rule of, rule number one is real life comes first.
Well, that's, and I think that's going to be it for most people. However, just like in the dynamics, in you look at the, you kind of look at the Alliance almost kind of like a caste system, because you look at the people that are more serious, that are going to be really investing money and time, are going to be higher in the higher alliances, the bigger alliance. Yeah, so the people that are going to be more serious players, air quotes here, are going to be in bigger alliances. And bigger alliances are going to attract bigger players. And bigger players are going to go to bigger alliances. You see, it's a vicious cycle here. And that's just kind of the way that the server works, right? So, of course, you say it in a way, and I don't mean it to sound any sort of condescending or haha, we're better than you, because it's just a game. But at the end of the day, the elephant in the room that a lot of people don't want to talk about is the fact that the server, the TC is going to run how the big alliances are going to want to run it, right? And so the smaller alliances cannot influence that, no matter how hard they try. If you get a territory and you're a much smaller alliance, it's because either A, a big alliance helped you get it, or B, it just wasn't important enough to a big alliance. So that's where it was kind of the luck of the draw there. And that's just kind of how it is. And so it sucks for people, kind of just the more casual player, because they don't get the same experience. They're not afforded the same opportunities. So that's really the big issue, is that at the end of the day, you're just going to either have to try to do an alliance swap, or you're just kind of jumping around and trying to get the particles that way, or you're just going to have to wait until we collectively, as the big alliances, are done getting what we need, and then we decide to move out, and we, you know, allow other people to have the territory. Unfortunately, it's not a perfect world, but that's just kind of the way it's going to work, right? Because that's how competitive games work.
So, Kirk, you touched on an excellent point that I wanted to touch upon is, if you can't go to an alliance that has the particles, you can always hop around alliances that have the particles. And I know Dark and Nona and even Dead do a bunch of rotations or have spots that are available for rotations for this very purpose. And I'll open up the floor to Raptor and Handy about how many spots do you keep available for that? And how does that process kind of work?
You know, it's actually kind of funny. We usually keep 2 to 3 spots open for that, but very rarely do people ask. It's almost like, I don't know that people are really as interested as you might think in jumping around, because it's kind of a hassle, right? I mean, there's Alliance leaderboard events where you've got collective things going on. People are kind of reluctant to leave their alliance to come take these particles because they don't know what might be coming.
Especially every month for 3 weeks, we have a story arc, and every day there's some sort of alliance leaderboard that you're a part of.
Right. So it's, I can see how it's really difficult for players. But essentially, if one of our allies asks, one of our capture allies asks, we invite them immediately. No big deal. Because we usually keep a spot open.
If you need, I don't know who else has it, but I know that we have jellyfish parts. Come and spend your isogen on jellyfish, unless you're in tank. You don't get a jellyfish. Go away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Bold is allowing people in, but they also have access to the jelly I believe. Or no, wait. Is it MCRN or is it Bold who has the other jelly?
It's Bold and Most.
And Most.
Yeah, Bold. Yeah, and MBD goes into Bold a lot for those things. I know they're on a rotation with MBD.
Good. Yeah, I mean, people should share. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Especially a lot of people will... they will donate to the Alliance when they come in. Some of them will refine and give you diodes and reactors and stuff. Or maybe they'll run a bunch of armadas while they're there for 8 hours. Or they'll go in and contribute to the Alliance level or something like that. So typically people will kind of kick in and help the Alliance out while they're there.
I think Rap can kind of attest to that. I think that's kind of what most people do when they jump around. Because we get quite a few floaters that jump in to do that. And I think Rap, he can obviously speak better on that. But it seems like that's where we get a lot of that income from.
Yeah, we actually get so many that I even myself have a hard time figuring out who's here temporarily, who's not. And because it doesn't help, because everybody seems to change their name a lot here recently.
That can be a big problem.
But we typically have two spots open at all times for particle rotation. Then there's some people that come for particle rotation, and then they stay for 2-3 weeks, and then they jump out, go back to their other alliance. We haven't really talked about a set timeline yet, how long you're allowed to be in. But I think we're going to have to start doing that because we're finding a lot of people aren't wanting to leave once they come.
Which is fine. I mean, in certain situations. I mean, I've told a few players that they're welcome to stay if they want, depending on the person, you know.
And I've had to ask a few players to come back home because we need them.
Right. That's usually what happens is... their old alliance, you know, where all their friends are and whatnot, ask them to come back, I would imagine.
Well, that's always been, you know, I've had a few of them ask, well, how long do we go? I was going to say, that's something with, how long do they stay? Or how long can they stay? I mean, should they stay, you know, a day, 2 days? You know, that's something else.
Yeah, that's going to be entirely, you know, if you're an alliance that has a bunch of slots and you're cool with them just hanging out, you know, and that's going to be entirely dependent upon that. If you're an alliance that's kind of in high demand, you're probably going to want to be like, hey, man, welcome to Walmart. Get your shit and get out because, you know, we need you to get out of here to vacate it. Because I know it seems like every day I log in, there's some new name on the board that I've never seen, and then they're gone.
See, Dark is a much... more desirable place to go than Nona because we don't have the jellyfish blueprints in the store. So I think Dark gets a lot more people in and out than we do.
Oh yeah, we get at least 5 or 6 different people a day.
Yeah, no.
But the jellyfish blueprints are not available, if I'm not mistaken, to anybody below 39.
So you have to be 39 in order to get the blueprints?
Yeah, I know that you have to be 39... And I know that you have to be 39 to be able to purchase the jellyfish packs in the store. I'm pretty sure it is the same way for the Isogen when you trade in your Isogen for jellyfish blueprints. Because I was telling somebody else about it, and they were like, yeah, I can't do that. I was like, no, man, it's right there. And they were like, no, man, I'm not 39. Oh, okay. Shows how much I know.
Yeah. It's kind of hard when you're not the right levels.
See, I would have thought it would open up at 36.
I wish it would open up to 36.
Side note for people listening. Guys, I've just gone through this. I don't care what you heard. Go to 39 as quick as you can. Just do it. Go there, sit there, and then get what you need. Okay? So don't listen to the other people when they say,
I'm trying to do that.
Get there.
I'm trying to do that because I want the extra doc.
So there's many benefits to being level 39.
The
whole game is designed to be level 39.
Yeah, I mean, you get the benefit of being able to do stuff in dark space, which you get that at 38. But you know, you get it, once you get to 39, a lot more stuff opens up to you. You can then build the jellyfish. You can get the jellyfish blueprints from the certain alliance stores and so forth. the rewards are better.
Yeah.
The rewards are better. So, you know, just all of you guys that are camping out, and I'm going to sit at 35 until I max out my enterprise. All right, buddy, well, the game's going to leave you behind. And you're going to be spending way more money and way more time because your rewards are nowhere near what they could be. So just go to 39 and sit there and play catch-up. And that's what you need to do. This has been a public service announcement. Thank you.
Don't ridiculously break the bank to do that, though. Just a warning. Don't mortgage your house or your kid's college fund to go to 39. Just don't do that.
Well,
they can learn everything they need to know on a street corner.
I did start working on 38 operations a few days ago.
Thank you, Quagmire.
And it's like 50 days or something to get to that. So you have to use up your speed ups.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's where you do a helps tour. Like, I'm planning on doing one where you just go to a bunch of alliances, get all the helps you can get, and that'll take down the time exponentially every single time you go.
There is a lot of research in the new territory capture. Any research you have throughout the tree that gives you any kind of efficiency, it should be your number one goal. So the very first thing you do anytime you level up is go through all of your research and make sure that you upgrade anything having to do with efficiency, whether it's ship parts or mats or
mats.
Any efficiency.
Mats. A lot of you people right now listening are sitting on, you think you have a lot. You're like, I got 500-600 million tritanium. I have 1 billion tritanium. I can tell you right now that once you get up to like 40, that's nothing. It's almost nothing. So make sure you're working on efficiency. Ship parts, you definitely need to work on that. Gas or all that stuff.
Here's a question for you.
Just worry about PvP.
About 3 months ago, Rev had a video talking about these new protons that they're working on for you to do that, to get the 7-day chest, get 4 of those, and then you get the 30-day chest. And a bunch of people have been sitting on their loyalty chest waiting for months for that to come out. What do you think? Should people keep waiting, or should they just go ahead and do the 30-day chest goals?
I mean, if you don't need the resources...
Do you need anything from it? If yes, then get it. If
well,
not...
Well, you probably need the mats. I'm sure everyone needs the mats.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably... See, here's the thing. If it's not officially coming from Scopely, you can't put too much credit in it. Now, RevDuce is not an official Scopely content creator. He's just not. So
not
he may
anymore.
Have some inside info, but...
Didn't he get that review?
That doesn't mean anything he puts out is 100%. Until Scopely puts it out in some kind of an announcement, you just can't count on it for sure.
I think it was because it was on the newer servers. That's why he thought it would be coming to the older ones.
And historically, they try things on newer servers and never release it on others. So they have different content for different servers. I know that.
They do. I mean, look at for example, I have a screenshot. I'll post it up in the Galaxy chat and server in the official server 34 Discord as soon as I can find it. But I have a screenshot of the shipbuilding queue. And someone's building a G4 common ship. What is that? We don't know because we don't have it in our server. But it's a screenshot and it's legitimate. All right. So this has also been confirmed by one of our good friends and content creators who's been around since quite literally the beginning, since before anybody else was able to play it, other than those that were in Ireland and I think Romania, was it, Tech? Pretty sure it was Romania. Go check out his channel. Just because something happens on one server doesn't mean it's going to happen on the other. I mean, look at some of the newer servers. You look at their packs, and it's half the mats for the same price. So, you know, and
That's
they say it
crazy.
Has to. Well, what they say is that it has to do with the age of the server, and as the server progresses, they'll become more efficient, but still. Why is my $100 worth more than someone else's $100?
Well, it's all about the progression, right? So typically the middle of the pack as far as level is the most efficient place to be. If you're in the front, you're paying a premium early to get there early. If you're in the bottom of the pack, you're just being left in the dust. If you're somewhere in the middle, the game is basically designed for you, because as we keep noticing, more research comes out for efficiency. Like, this is research I didn't have when I went from level 42 to 48. I didn't have any of that. So I paid a lot more resources
even,
to get there
even
than
look at the,
anybody
look
else.
Look at the jellyfish.
Now.
Some of you guys that had the jellyfish early on, I mean, the only way you could have gotten it was from Epic Chests and doing the auctions. But now look at me. I pretty much got all the jellyfish blueprints for free to play because that was now available. Because I'm somewhere kind of in the higher bracket in the middle. And so, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, patience does, it does pay off, because when you start talking about money-wise, you know, you see these guys that a year ago had an ISS jellyfish, you guys have probably had to come out of pocket the equivalent of a couple thousand bucks for it. Now look, you can go in the store and buy it outright for $800. That's cheaper than what it costs to buy an Epic ship.
Fortunately for me, I think I only spent like maybe $150 to win it on the leaderboard, but that was because I got it super duper early, because nobody else could even get the leaderboard, but so I got a little lucky there.
But I can get a free-to-play jellyfish, so there. You spent too much.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Anyway, Tech, did you have any other stuff about the TC before I...
No. Feel free to move on.
I just wanted to ask about anything that somebody wanted to bring up, because the reason we're doing these particular episodes on every Sunday is because we're trying to just kind of get a feel of what's been happening throughout the week. And from what I can tell this past week, I've been a little more attentive. I've been playing a little bit more since I was able to get the jellyfish, so I'm able to go to higher warp and do more missions and do some of the stuff that I wasn't able to do before, so I've been on more. And it seems to me that it's been pretty laid back, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, I would say it's been pretty peaceful out there. I mean, at least this week. You know, I think shout out to Sharky. Really, really hearts and prayers are with you. But that was kind of what unfortunately happened to him and his family, I think was, you know, kind of, it got a lot of people to stop worrying and come to the table and talk. I mean, I don't want to say lucky, but an interesting turn of events as we ended that war the day before that happened. I don't know. I think people are maybe tempering their reactions to things, talking more instead of just jumping to conclusions. And I think it's a really good thing.
Well, yeah, that war between Most and Dark, it was not like a typical Dark war. We didn't go full bore just blowing everything up. We actually, you know, made little kind of rules of, you know, all right, we'll hit this, we'll leave this alone. You leave our armadas alone, leave your armadas alone, because we're just trying to, you know, blow off some frustration, but also get to the bottom of this.
Well, all the regular players, and when I say regular players, no offense to you sometimers, but honestly, man, if you're like, for the most part, most of you guys that are in the lower 20s and below, I mean, you're there because you play very casually, right? So, no offense to you, but I don't know who you are. No, none of us do. Because you're not that involved. You're not jumping in GC. You're not in the middle of the territory captures. You're not out here doing this and out here doing that, right? Because you're just kind of, you know, you're laying low-key doing your own thing. So I can't really speak for that population. I'm not going to pretend to, because everybody's just an individual. But I think for the most part, as a whole, those of us, we all pretty much know who each other are. You know, we've all had encounters. We've been playing this game so long with the same people that... we pretty much have had a conversation with every quote-unquote serious player in the server. So I think maybe, in my mind and some of the other people I've talked to, that, you know, eventually we're going to have to learn to really kind of tolerate at least one another, because our server is getting smaller and smaller. You know, it's only a matter of time before a lot of these people that are more free to play are just really going to fall off the map, because they're just going to get bored with it. Because once you get to a certain point, it'll take you a month to save up enough par steel to upgrade one component if you're not doing any sort of pay to play.
And it's just, it takes a special kind of person to put up with your ass.
It does, right? Right. So, but I mean, seriously, I mean, I think that we all need to understand that we're going to be playing together. And, you know, Grazi had mentioned something about a server merge. If that ever does happen, we're definitely going to need to come together. We all need to stick together, because now you're going to have this other group, and you don't think they're going to have that same pack mentality?
Especially if they come from a server that's not as liberal as ours as the rules.
I mean, there are servers out there. You talk to a lot of these other players, Tech and I do all the time. They can't mine at all. Some of them can't mine at all, and then some of them, PvP is like, you murdered their dog in their front yard. You know, it's just the worst thing ever. I mean, they're just, it's literal Farmville servers. So we're definitely going to need to stick together. And, you know, obviously there's some people out there I have some issues with. I'm not really interested in talking to you. Those people know who they are. So good luck. I'm not going to help you. But most people, I would definitely absolutely help out. I mean, and I'm going to say this right now, whether or not she's listening, I really don't care. But if, for example, if there's a server merger and a bunch of other people will railroad and Jeep screw, y'all know I'm not a Jeep fan. But guess who would be flying in helping out? Ya boy. So that just comes with, it's like, hey man, no. That's what I do. You can't do that. That this is part of our thing. We have our own thing going on.
That's my alliance I fuck up, not yours.
It's just, you know, and like I say, you know, we make a lot of jokes.
I'm their bully, not you. That's my punching bag. Don't mess with my my victims.
That's my fire hydrant that I pee on. You get out of here. But in all seriousness, you know, the issues that I have with them, I'm sure that if we ever met in person, it would be perfectly fine. You know, it's hard to read someone's body language. It's hard to read someone, the inflection in their voice and everything like that through a damn online message or any sort of text message or text-based communication. We've talked about it before. So even the people, you know, I know we just spent a little while bashing Tank. Hey, most of you guys over there are good people. There's a couple of you over there that honestly,
I've had good conversations with Tank players. I've had good conversations with AJ. I mean, when he wants to be, he's very level-headed and friendly.
I've never had a problem with AJ.
I'm sure most people haven't.
Personalities and stuff like that, right? Because, you know, obviously I am the way that I am, and I'm not the easiest person when it comes to... I don't suffer fools well, so take that how you want it. But I do think that we need to continue on the path of trying to get everybody to play together. I mean, we're going to fight each other. I want my team to be the best. So, yeah, I mean, we could be cool, but if you're messing around with one of my teammates or one of my allies, yeah, man, I'm going to come in, I'm going to blow you up. I'm going to chase you around. I'm going to do everything I've got to do. But at the end of the day, let's make sure that we're able to at least understand that we all have to play this. We enjoy this game, and we have to be playing it with each other for a very long time. Because
it is just a game.
It is just a game, but it's a lot different in that a lot of us have invested actual money in this game. So that's going to deepen that emotional tie to that game. Right? So, and I mentioned it earlier in AC. Dude, STFC got me through the COVID lockdown. So, I don't know about anybody else, but... I mean, I don't know how much social interaction you guys had, but...
To be honest, man, I've made more friends...
Well, I had to work.
Yeah, I mean, I've still worked 90 hours a week, but I find that it's really helped with talking to people socially and stuff, especially when I couldn't actually talk to the customers anymore. So I find this to be great, and it helps everyone else out who is stuck at home. Although during the worst of it, I could definitely tell the people that were stuck at home were a lot more angry, aggressive, shall we say. Yes.
Yeah, there has been a lot of aggression out there at times. a lot of frustration.
Actually, this
Definitely.
game, I actually got to meet Tacman in person. Me and him actually went and had a few drinks together.
Hey, I got to my wife and I went out to lunch with Best John. Shout out to Best John and his lovely wife. So we got to meet them. Come to find out that we actually were both from the same town, and I found that out right after I had moved, my wife and I had moved to a different state. So when we went back home to visit, we were actually able to go out to lunch with to them, and so yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. So I've developed a lot of relationships, as most people that are avid players here, everybody has developed some relationships, you know, and in many ways, I know a lot more about some of the people in this game than I know about real life people that I've, you know, that I meet and I see every day. So I want to keep that in mind. I don't want to drag on and big boo-hoo, mushy, floppy dick session, but do any of you guys have any other... anything else you wish to discuss? I wanted to kind of open the floor to see if anybody else had anything to bring to the table.
I would like to encourage everybody that is in territory capture at the moment to take a serious look at all their neighbors and all their friends across the alliances, and just realize that we're all people. All our alliances are very similar. Maybe run a little bit differently here and there, but you know, we could all be friends, and
some of us have more money than others, but that's not the point.
Well, it would be nice to see everybody, you know, come to the table and everybody move around and get what they need at a territory capture. You know, I don't see any reason why everybody can't. And so far it's been pretty successful, but there's a few other people that can come to the table and move around, get what they need. So if you're listening to this, you can always reach out to me on in-game, and I'll give you a Discord link. And if you want to talk about moving around, let me know.
Same thing. Yeah, I mean, reach out to...
Particle Exchange. Anybody wants to come and get particles from us, you're more than welcome to hit us up. We'll let you in.
Come on through. We got jelly blueprints.
That's very tempting.
It's very tempting.
It's gonna cost you. It's gonna cost you the diodes and things to activate that jelly blueprint thing.
Well, you can come to Nona for free. No, I'm kidding.
There's nothing. Yeah, free right. In
Nona. I don't think anything is free in Nona.
The water. The water costs money.
Yeah.
I think what we're trying to say is that don't let Scopely win. We can figure out a way to make a micro economy for ourselves within the game where we don't have to blow up our wallets because we don't want Scopely to win.
Apparently my podcast partner is Che Guevara.
I'm not that communist. Don't let me in with that. Anyways, I wanted to get everybody's opinion on this latest arc. The events, the buttworm armadas, and the buttworms themselves.
You don't like blowing up hemorrhoids off the butthole?
Yeah.
It's not that type of gun that you use.
Okay.
But
load the tubes with preparation H and fire.
There you go. Preparation H. A through G failed. That's why we got to name it H.
Operation Ass Cream.
So the last arc, these ticketed events. I thought the ticket events, while in principle that you had to pay for them, was kind of screwed up. At least the rewards that they gave you was actually decent rewards. But now with these ticketed events, and people specifically bought packs for these ticketed events, are just absolute utter nonsense. And it is so very disappointing to see, while, you know, it's still, some of these rewards are still behind a paywall. It's now, you not only have a paywall, but you have a paywall within a paywall with these, like, these armada, these buttworm armada. and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on the arc so far and the rewards and everything associated with it.
Well, I'll go ahead and jump in there because I'm gonna have to cut my time a little bit short, but I'll go ahead and jump in there and give my opinion. I like the arcs, these arcs, because they're the original series. It's my favorite series. I like the fact that I can actually have Kirk, Uhura, and Sulu on the bridge.
And the fact that you can actually have Chekhov in this game.
I think it's really awesome. I do like that. The idea behind that. The event store is the event store. It never changes. It's all, you know, there's nothing ever really profound that they offer there. Overall, I think with the ticketed events when they first came out, I mean, they were almost impossible to complete. That first day was just ridiculous. I think I had to spend so many mats to get the research one complete, but I think they were, once they reformatted everything, they seem to be quite a bit easier now.
They've made events easier to complete, supposedly, but I don't know. My favorite thing is the invisible bullets. Those are excellent.
Oh, yeah, where if I upgraded my ship to the blue bullets and nothing happens.
Yeah. They hit it out of the park with that one. Congrats, Scopely. Thank you very much for a flawless launch.
Still haven't fixed it.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in this arc. I'm very disappointed.
I am too. I mean, those ship skins are not exactly what we were asking for. I think it's kind of cool, except you just turned a battleship into an interceptor and an interceptor into a battleship. But hey, I guess that's their way of giving us the original series ships.
I kind of think this is a way for them to just kind of launch an idea and see what we like. In theory, I really like what they're doing, actually. But the execution is wrong. All the skins are awful. I feel like they kind of rushed it out and they should have waited until it was done. But if they continue on with it and do like the next generation, and, you know, or a Deep Space Nine in the future, and we get to have Quark and.
So have a skin from each one being able to go on the epic ship.
If I can make my base look like Deep Space Nine, I will be tickled pink. That would be amazing.
They do That'd a Deep awesome. Space Nine, they better fucking make the Defiant.
Well, if they could, if what they could do is continue on with the same idea, because obviously the way the bullets look, it doesn't change anything. There's no bonus, but the ship skins do offer you additional bonuses when fighting hostiles. If they could do that throughout, like you say, they come out with the Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and all this stuff, where each ship skin has kind of a different ability, I think that would be cool, because you could reskin your ship to the, you know, to the Enterprise D for PvP, but now I'm going to do hostiles. I'm going to go back and reskin it to the original series Enterprise. And I think that would kind of be a cool aspect if they could continue on that path. Now, whether or not they're going to do it, they have a bad habit of starting shit and not finishing it.
Yeah, they really do. So what's going to end up happening is, if everybody has a really bad reaction and complains too much to Scopely, they're going to ditch the idea altogether and we're not going to get anything. We'll just move on to something else. But we'll see what happens.
You know, I'm not really into it. I don't care for these doomsday things. I really don't like it. I mean,
the butt worms?
Yeah, I don't really like them. I think they look cool. The worms that they look kind of neat.
The worm armadas.
The armadas, they're, these things are, I mean, it looks like a butthole. I don't like them. But I don't really like this arc. They made that first day was really hard. We couldn't finish any of the events. And they've gotten better, but I don't really like it. And that, you were saying the rewards don't seem to be the same as they had been in previous story arcs.
Yeah, it seems like they're just getting stingier and stingier with rewards as each arc comes out.
I guess to put it into perspective, the worms are it's from the Doomsday Machine in the original Star Trek episode with Commodore Matt Decker, and this thing was supposed to be highly impervious, and obviously Kirk found a way to destroy it. That's why they're called the Doomsday Worms or whatever they're called. Yeah, you know, the rewards really, really annoy me because you could get some real resources from these events, and buying these tickets would be worth it. Except what really kind of really annoyed me was, you know, I didn't purchase any of these packs because I'm against these ticketed events, but whatever, they're here to stay. So you buy a pack for these ticketed events, and then if you're a high enough level, you got to do the or you want to do the rare or epic Buttworm Armada event, and so you have to purchase another pack to do that event. And you're like, wait, didn't I just purchase a pack to do these ticket events, but now it's behind another paywall because I got to buy more? So I
that's how they introduced regular armadas when they first came out.
That's true. Although I do know in some of the bigger alliances, like Dark or Nona or most, I'm sure you have plenty of guys that are more than willing to buy the armada credits and run them. So all you have to do is join. I would assume that at a certain level, you probably aren't getting in many. But I would suggest that anybody that knows, I mean, you know if you're not getting into many armadas in your respective alliance, and I would not recommend trying to do any of those events because you're probably not going to get in.
Well, part of the problem is even if you buy those armadas, right, your rewards are the fangs or whatever, so you can get more shards, the TOS crew shards. And those epic Buttworm armadas, they don't provide that many shards. It's kind of in the same vein as the Mega Cube.
Right. Armadas have never, since the inception, have given you very much. Never.
Well, but the regular ones do, right? The regular ones give you a bunch of stuff for you.
You can refine. What do they give you?
You can get your epic ships and your jelly blueprints. The regular armadas.
But it doesn't give you very many of them, and they're few and far between. I mean, every 6 days you might get two or three blueprints for a ship. I mean, it's not like it's that big of a deal. Not really.
You run so many rare armadas to be able to do a full pool every day. It's not feasible.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much. It just isn't.
And sometimes they can just feel like a chore.
The one thing I can't say armadas have given me would be plenty of XP for my officers and ship experience, basically.
Now, I kind of like that the Doomsday armadas give you shards. Because personally, I use, I'm not going to leak my secret, but you...
All right, secrets.
Secret officer.
It's not really a secret, but you use particular officers, and now you're going to increase what you're getting.
And that's nice, but only the uncommon and the rare, only the rare and the epic ones do. The uncommons don't, and they haven't exactly put out...
Well, the uncommons are worthless, but... They only
haven't put out a way that they're going to actually, you're going to be able to keep getting tokens to go to them. Right now,
the uncommons are only for completing an event. That's all they're for. The rare and the epics are give you some sort of loot. But the uncommons are only for events. There's no other reason you should ever run them. But respectively, they only cost one to start instead of 50 or 100 or whatever.
True, but my question is, where after this arc is done, what are they going to give us? How are we going to be able to procure tokens in order to run those armadas?
And it's hard to say. It may turn out like Borg, and we don't get it.
That's what I was just going to say. I was going to say it might end up like Borg space.
Right. It'll probably end up being another Borg space. But Bork space was kind of a failed arc, except for the Vidar and probes. That was extremely successful, but the actual Armada part is never their focus. It's almost like something to do during the arc. And then when it's over, you just don't do the Armadas anymore, is what it looks like. Now, the one exception is the Exchange, right? I think Exchange was done very well, and I'm surprised they didn't do that again, because I kind of like the way Exchange happened and the way it's still useful and tied into the game with the research and whatnot and the scrapping and all that. I think it's interesting and fun. There's many, many steps to it, but you get a lot out of it, you know?
Yeah. So for someone who doesn't exactly have a lot of time, it's much more challenging.
Oh, yeah, guys, I can put it up. I'll put it to you like this. I've gone to Ops 40, and I have the jelly, and I'm moving on up and everything. I have yet to scrap a maxed Stella.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh my god, I've maxed like 15 of them.
Right, well, so the thing is, though, is that because the way that I'm playing now, I'm not on all the time, not near as much. I pretty much get on to do events and then to do a little bit of mining here and there, and I try to run a few armadas. But it got to the point now where everybody's Stella is so much larger that the only time I get them is when I run my own armadas. So it's a snail's pace.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, that's where you probably should have invested in those Stella packs. They had like a Stella upgrade pack a little bit ago.
Yeah, those were garbage, though.
Still, it would have been a way to bump it up.
$100 would not, or $100 was not even going to allow me to upgrade 2 modules.
Yeah, that's tough.
Well, I'm kind of in a similar boat as you, Kirk. I'm working on maxing my first Stella because finding the time to get to doing that is hard for me. But people in my alliance, they've done like 5 max Stellas that they've scrapped already. So what I'm working on right now is I'm going to scrap my Mayflower probably by the end of the week. And then I'm going to use some of the rares for that prime research to basically cut the requirements for the to upgrade the Stella in half.
The prime Stella components?
Yeah. It'll cut in half what you need.
Do you have 90 million dilithium?
Yeah.
Because that's what it costs. I have enough mats to do it. I just need the dilithium.
Well, go raid, man. That's what you guys do.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do.
You gotta stop slacking off there, Kirk.
Yeah, man. You're not holding up the dark name very well.
Dude, I'm
Are you even in the top 100 of rating still?
I used to be like 70 or 60 or something, somewhat decent. Now I'm like, I've fallen 100 behind.
Shame.
I know.
You better pick that back up, otherwise Dark might kick you out because
they're not gonna kick me out. Who else is gonna stir up shit?
Oh, they got plenty of people for that.
Just look at
no one as brazen as I.
Are you kidding? Han Solo just created a war because he keyed OPL.
you gotta love Wash. He is hilarious.
Yeah, and he did. And what really pissed him off is the fact that Solo didn't give a shit, and Lucky basically knew he didn't give a shit.
Yep. Yeah. Well, for the record, his name used to be Up Your Anus.
That's good to know.
Well, you know,
when he first
joined
Dead at like level 25, he was Up Your Anus.
Jeez, what's that, Ranger?
I'll say it doesn't take much to piss off Keys over in Most, because he tried to go after us the other day, telling me he was gonna come after our alliance and take us all down because one of my guys got him OPL.
Oh, same story.
Just let him know, Grazi's not putting up with that shit no more, so just let him know.
I did. I said, you need to tell him what that means. I mean, he's a level, whatever level he is. I said,
level
I don't 50, know what level
bro.
He is. Yeah, and I'm like, you should know what OPL means. You know, usually I only explain that to level 20s. Well, you know,
well, he feels that since he spent so much money to become level 50, he should be untouchable.
Oh, that's what he told my guy. I actually have a screenshot where he was telling my guy that all us little people should not be attacking these higher level people because.
I cannot believe
that. We should not be allowed to do that.
That's basically saying that. Come on, Key, man. All you're doing is making yourself a bigger target, buddy. And secondly, just because you spent more money does not make you special, man. Come on.
I think I just. What did you say, Handy? Did you just say, I can't wait to catch Key OPL?
No, but.
All you got to do is just go there at night and he'll be OPL. Because. My guy goes further all the time.
He also got off because he
couldn't hit OPL,
Hydra out there, and his Hydra went OPL, and they blew up his Hydra.
Man.
It's a blow up.
That's stupid.
You know.
Well, that's key for
you. No, I'm talking about
the more he complains, the more people are going to hit him. It's just how it is.
Just so you guys know, just a disclaimer. No, I wasn't calling Key stupid. I talked to Key in real life, and
he's a great guy. I like.
He's
Key,
a great guy. But what I'm saying is, the
not
repair
complain
bill,
about OPL.
No, the repair bill is stupid.
It's stupid. Oh, absolutely.
On those ships, on those ships,
it's a
the
joke.
Repair bill is outrageous.
It costs money.
It's like 150 million tritanium for a repair or something.
Yeah,
but, it's like a lot.
But like they say, and you know, because I also play the Eve Online game, and if you can't afford it, then don't fly it. You know.
Yep.
You can't That's afford to lose point. It. Don't fly it.
That's and, why I don't fly it.
Well, there's a reason why you see people even like Handy. And you'll see a lot of other guys that are in bigger accounts. What's the number one PvP and grinding ships they use? They're all maxed out epic ships. It's for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I don't use those ships anymore, but...
You can do almost anything in the game with those ships.
Yeah, you really can. The three-star ships. I only use the three-star miners, but for grinding now, I only use four-star ships.
Well, yeah, you're at a level where you kind of have to have that power.
Right.
You know, but to put it in perspective...
I can't even use the jelly anymore.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, to put it in perspective, you know, I have the jelly now. Mine's 4.something million or whatever, something kind of decent or whatever. But, you know, I can kill just a little bit more with the jelly than I can with my auger that's like 3.5 million. However, my
jelly...
Yeah,
there's a sweet spot for those jellies.
However, that jelly also costs 3 million tritanium and like a couple hundred thousand dilithium, whereas my auger costs less than 600,000 or 500,000 tritanium and like, you know, 30 or 40,000 dilithium. So it's a cost-effective thing.
Oh, yeah, much more so cost-effective.
So don't use your Hydra, mine ISO, especially 3-star ISO, is what you're saying.
Or just
absolutely. I mean, you should not. I mean, I would only use a 4-star ship up in dark, a deep space. It's just the only place I would use it.
And then get mad that you got caught over 100k OPL.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at. I mean, Handy. You even said yourself right now. You're what? 48? 49?
49. Yeah.
49. When's the last time you used the G4 mining ship?
About 8 or 9 months ago.
Exactly. Right. So once you max out your miners, your G3 miners, and here's another thing, people, I can use my miners in dark space to mine G4 materials, and my highest miner's a tier 5. Why? Because I have summon on my discovery. So there's another thing to think about. If you don't have summoning, get it, because you can save a lot of resources not having to get your miners. Eventually, you're going to want to max them out, but it'll allow you some breathing room.
Oh, yeah. I love that summoning. I just got my disco to warp 51. I'm almost at warp 53. It's so nice.
I will say, the summons is nice.
Yeah, it's probably the best thing they added to the game to date.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's hands down, that's the most useful thing in the game.
Oh yeah, I popped my
ultimate freaking disco.
And when they added all those new mining officers too, I now get mining nodes in Warp 51 space every night for all three maps. Get all that mining done overnight. I don't have to worry about it. 90% of the time, I'm still alive in the morning.
Fact.
Well, I find going to the Warp 55. Going to the Warp 55 areas to mine, I usually don't get killed at night, even if I'm zeroed or anything.
I'll go OPL. I'll get up to, I think my max with T'Pring is like 100k OPL. I'll get up to 150, 160, and nobody touches me. It'll be zeroed for hours.
Yeah.
And that's 4-star mats, right?
No, that's just G3 mats.
G what? G3?
It's just G3 mats. G4 mats. The only time I ever mine it is when I need to do dailies.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised with G3 mats, you're still not getting hit.
No, you go way out.
I guess it's because everybody has, or all the big alliances have pretty much all the G3 nodes that are now in territory space. I think a lot of people don't even venture out. So, I mean, they've added a lot of mining territory. So they've effectively eliminated a lot of competition for those nodes.
Exactly. And it's a good addition. And, I mean, now, I mean, if you're ever short on mats and you don't have time to mine, just sit there with your coffee and jump around to a few TCs early in the morning. I guarantee you, you'll get what you need to mine that day or to refine.
Yep, you will.
Hit them OPL.
All right, guys, I was thinking if you guys got any final thoughts on territories or the arc before we wrap up.
I think I'm good.
I have nothing.
I'm good, buddy. I think we covered everything, man.
I have a question.
Shoot.
So this is a vast for the TOS. So what do we think is going to be next? Is it going to be animated series, TOS movies, so we can get old Kirk? Or are we going to go to Next Generation?
You probably end up getting Next Generation.
I don't know. We already have 3 Kirks. How many more can they give us?
I think Next Generation is probably it. So we'll probably see Picard. And
I don't think so. I think we're going to stick with the TOS movies. I think there's going to be I think there's going to be an Admiral Kirk, and I think there's going to be an old Spock. And
that is really disappointing.
That is
so disappointing.
Well, they have to look long term, so that's why I'm saying maybe they'll even do the animated. So you have animated Kirk, then old Kirk.
I want to fly a Borg ship.
What they should really do is there's a huge imbalance between morale officers, the burning crew, and the hull breach crew, and they really should rebalance. I mean, they did that with Lorca and Georgiou. They rebalanced the burning and the hull breach with those characters to be with morale. Now they upped the morale with super over-the-top powerful TOS characters.
That only works on floors.
Now they should rebalance it with more arcs featuring the different races. That would really elongate the long game before they get to the next generation. But I don't think they will. I think they'll just pile on more Kirks. So you'll have like 4 epic Kirks on a ship.
That would be so boring. They can't do Kirk again.
Well, the thing is though, guys, is that as somebody else, I think Cook, I think you mentioned it too, you're talking about longevity. They've already set a precedent. When I first started playing this game, story arcs were not a thing, right? And then they came out with them and it was like you'd have a few and then they came out with a few. Now every month, there's a new, at least part of an arc, right? There's a new arc every month. And so they've already set a precedent. So now you look at long term, and if that's what they should be doing, because this is a huge cash cow for them, long term, it would make sense to milk it as much as possible, because that's probably Scopely's motto, right?
Well, apparently they're milking all the players as much as they possibly can.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you got guys that are spending, that are actually spending real money to get an avatar. You know, so I mean,
not me.
No. So
I can't believe that.
And I'm on. I was last I checked. I was second place in the jellyfish refit leaderboard, just because I've had a bunch of stuff to upgrade on my jelly and the base and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I think that they, for me, it's a double-edged sword, because would I like to see new content? Yes, but I'm also a huge fanboy of the original series, so I'm always open for them to do any more stuff with the original series.
Well, I mean, you need to bring in the original series Klingons.
They probably will. I mean, there's three main races, right? So maybe they'll start releasing, they'll do another arc for Romulan and then another arc for Klingon. Maybe. I don't know.
That would be nice.
Be cool if they just add a whole new race with a new territory. Hopefully
favors the Federations.
Absolutely.
Although,
I mean, but think about it. How much more can this game support? I mean, look at all the stuff we have to do already. Every day.
Yeah. It's.
I've got to mine mycelium. I've got to mine data. I've got to mine ISO. I've got to go kill Borg probes. I've got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And on top of all that, I got to go grind to go be able to get the next ship, you know? Like, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, your options are either ignore parts of it, and you don't progress in those areas.
Well, that's kind of like why Kirk and I fell behind on Outlaw stuff.
That's me on the Outlaw. I'm behind on that stuff. I've never
scrapped. Yes, so am I. I just don't have the time to do that.
Well, all the things. To be quite honest, guys, if I were you, I would focus more on Outlaw and ditch something else, because it's pretty important.
Well, that's what I started to do.
Well, part of the reason why you can't ditch anything else, because if you mine data, that gives you the directives you can run the uncommon and rare armadas.
True.
So you can't just totally ignore it. And grinding those traders is painful.
And you need the ISO in order to keep your alliance afloat.
I don't care about the board.
Yeah, it's all very intertwined and meshed together.
It's almost like they want you to buy packs.
See, I don't worry about the board.
And in some ways, Rogue kind of is the only thing you can ignore at times.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, gang. I think this has been fun. Rescue Ranger from GTS, Handy from Nona, Cook from Dead, and Raptor from Dark. Thanks very much for joining me today. I think this has been fun. You guys are all invited to come next time, next Sunday. We'll invite more people, and then we'll have some more things to talk about.
Sounds good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks
for having us.
Same bad time, same bad place.
There you go. Same Scopely time, same Scopely place. All right, guys, thank you so much again. This has been Trek Talk with Tech and Kirk. I'm TechMan16.
And I'm the one who pays Chef to dry hit you.
And we'll see you guys next time.